Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage. It's all there just for you. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles, lots of good stuff there to answer a lot of your questions and get you the resources you need to have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes on Sunday by email, and we have a blog there, which you can check out. We update that every weekday, and so I hope you use it to your advantage. Tamar Jacoby is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and an outstanding member of our Brain Trust. She's senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, the author of Someone Else's House, America's Unfinished Struggle for Immigration, for Integration, and she's also the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot, and she's our good friend. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Tamar, recently, you guys asked a question. You actually conducted a forum. You conducted a poll that, and here was the question: Which would you prefer? Congress does nothing about immigration reform this year, or Congress passes an immigration reform bill? And there's some other words in there, but those basically were the two questions that you asked. Do you have the results in front of you?
I don't actually have the results in front of me.
I do.
you?
I have them right in front of me.
Okay.
Here's what they said. 55% of likely voters want to do the pragmatic thing, recognize this underground population, the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, and bring it into the right side of the law, as opposed to 33% who would stand pat and ignore the problem. Over 55, over half want a solution here, and about a third don't care.
Well, and what's even more striking about that question is we actually used the dreaded A word, the amnesty word.
Yeah.
We said, would you like Congress to do something, or would you like Congress to do something even if it wasn't perfect and had some things you didn't like, including amnesty? And still 55% want to solve it so badly that they said, do something even if it's not perfect.
Tamar, I've been road testing my idea around the country with people that I meet with as we talk about this issue, including some politicians, and I haven't been getting a lot of pushback on my idea, and here it is.
Yeah.
We give every illegal person in the United States 6 months. Okay, you've got 6 months to come forward, to come in out of the shadows and identify yourself. And if you, as long as you have not, you know, committed a crime or anything, we're not looking for you for a crime. Mm-hmm. There's no back taxes. There's no penalty. You set yourself upon a path of being a guest worker for, let's say, 12 months. Mm-hmm. And in that 12 months, after you come forward, you either leave or you become part of, you get on a track to become a citizen. And that's mm-hmm. it. And that's it. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Yeah,
and if that includes,
you want to make it a little tougher than that.
But why? You know, they're not coming forward if it's tougher.
Well, I think it could be a little bit tougher. I mean, I think, you know, we could argue. Here's what I would say to this. I think that there are many ways to skin this cat, and I think your idea is a very good one. The basic principle is these people are here. They're not going home. Most of them are good for the country.
Yep.
It's better for us if they live on the right side of the law and we know what their names are and we've done a security check.
And they pay taxes.
So the only real question is how many hoops we make them jump through to get there. And you're arguing for not too many hoops, and there's some people who would like to see some more hoops. But, you know, that's a negotiation. We're just arguing about price at that point. We're not arguing about if.
But we
can only recognize that and have the debate and get to a price. You know, I'm with you. Low price is probably better than high price, but there may be enough people in the country that want it to be high price. You know, let's find somewhere in the middle.
Well, if we, here's the thing. I mean, we got 11 million people here that we've got to, that we essentially have to process. We have to get them in, identify them, and process them. We don't have a system, I don't think. We have a system that's prepared for that. If all 11 people showed up, 11 million people showed up in the next 6 months with a lot of extra hoops to jump through, we don't have a system that can handle the one that I'm talking about, let alone one with a lot more requirements. So that's
You got a point. That's a point. And they did, I mean, it was a fewer numbers. We're talking about 3 million people 20 years ago. They did figure out how to process them. Mostly they had, and they didn't do a perfect job of it, by the way, far from it, but mostly they got, you know, community immigrant advocate groups involved in helping the people do the paperwork. So by the time it got to the government, it was went by pretty quickly.
Right.
And still there were a lot of mistakes, but and fraud and stuff like that. So you're right, it's going to be hard. I mean, even shaking hands with 12 million people, 11 million people looked like take a long time. You'd have a long line. So you're totally right. It's going to be a big job. But look, you know, we've got to get up the political will and do it, because, you know, there's no other law enforcement challenge that we say, oh, it's too big, we can't do it. We don't say, oh, all those murderers out there, we can't tackle them because it's too big a job.
Well, look what we did to aviation overnight when we found out people were, you know, maybe were blowing planes up with what was inside of toothpaste tubes. You know, so we did that. We did that overnight.
Right.
You know, and well, you know, the other thing we got to do tomorrow is we got to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Yeah, that's for sure. We got to get control. But, you know, the trick to getting control here, and this is what most people don't understand, is not just getting tougher. It's also getting more realistic in the law. You can't enforce a law that's just so unrealistic that it doesn't have anything to do with the planet we live on. Quotas that pretend we don't need these people to keep the economy going are not realistic. Nobody else is going to, you know, pick the cantaloupe. I'm in Texas, where South Texas, where one farmer just watched $400,000 worth of cantaloupe rot in the fields because he didn't have enough workers to pick them.
Holy
and
mackerel!
We're not going to build the buildings we need to get built. The other example in Texas is they did nearly a billion dollars worth of construction on the school system in Dallas over the summer. Well, without immigrants, they wouldn't have gotten it done over the summer. They'd still be doing it, you know, in December with the kids sitting there trying to learn in the middle of the construction site.
That's the reality. Those are the reality issues, folks, that we have to deal with. That I think our politicians are not dealing with. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Tamar where we're stuck. Where's the leadership to make this happen over the next 12 to 24 months, or certainly in the next two election cycles? It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Tamar Jacoby is our guest. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend Tamar Jacoby. Tamar is Senior Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She's the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot and also the author of Someone Else's House, America's Unfinished Struggle for Integration. Tamar, now, Someone Else's House is still available, right? Where do they find that?
Yep. Both of those books are still available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or go to the Manhattan Institute website, manhattan-institute.org.
Right. And I encourage you to do that, folks. Anything Tamar writes, and many of you have seen her byline in the Wall Street Journal. I read everything of hers I can get my hands on. If you want to know what's really going on in the area of immigration reform especially, you can't do that without reading what Tamar writes. Tamar, I believe that there is such a thing as a peace dividend. I believe that if the more the world has peace, that's a dividend that just ripples through the economy. I believe that there will be a dividend when America's small businesses can buy health care through associations and can band together and get health care coverage at a much reduced price through the through associations like chambers of commerce, et cetera. Whenever that law is passed, I believe that that will create a dividend that will ripple through the economy beyond just the impact of being able to get health insurance.
Savings. Yeah,
yes, I think when small business owners don't have to worry about all of that and we can be more competitive, I think that's an extra dividend that we will benefit from. And with that same on that same theme, I believe when 11 million people who are currently in America working, when they and their employers can have that burden lifted off of them, they can be on a path towards legality. I believe that will add another dividend of efficiency and productivity to this country. I believe all three of those things. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think people will be, I mean, look, most of the people are working, keeping their heads down. Many of them are paying taxes. So let's not paint a false picture of what they are doing. But I agree with you that if once they're completely above board, A, all of them will pay taxes as opposed to, you know, we don't know exactly, but probably like 60% are paying income tax now. So all of them will be paying taxes. When people are legal, they have a different attitude toward life. They start to put down roots in a different way. And, I mean, we saw this 20 years ago when we legalized 2 million people. They got better jobs because they were willing to invest a little more.
Well, they didn't feel like they were being held back. They felt like that they could go anywhere they wanted to.
Exactly. And now they're already enterprising, hardworking people, so they got better jobs. A lot of them put down roots. A lot
started small businesses.
Like they went to school and learned English and learned another skill. So I agree with you. I think it's a nice phrase for it, the peace dividend. I think we will see a kind of a bump up in the way people live and the benefits it brings to our country when these 11 million people get on a path towards.
If we could get, think about that, folks. If over a 6-month period, we could give 11 million people that we're not going to get rid of. They're here. They're not going anywhere, folks. We couldn't send them back if we tried. What if in a 6-month period we could get 11 million people who want to be in this country, if not be an American citizen? If we gave them a new attitude over in a 6-month period, I think we would be amazed at how things could change in this country. Now, Tamar, where are we stuck? Where is the leadership failure?
Yeah, there is a leadership failure, and I hate to say it, but I believe it's at the moment. I think there are people in both parties who are scared of this, and. At the moment, they're mostly Republicans. The polls show that about 75% of the public is for doing exactly what you say we should do. They understand, you know, we're not going to solve this without dealing with that guy waiting down at the Home Depot for a job. You know, we can't just wish him away, and we got to do something with him. 75% of the public, every poll shows that. But that 25%, that 20-25% who are against it, who are just standing there with their arms crossed saying, over my dead body, they're detailed. It's wagging the dog of the politics right now, because with a close election coming, everybody's afraid of what they're going to do, and particularly Republicans. So are they afraid to make a mistake?
They're afraid the Democrats are going to get an angle on them or something. What's going on?
Well, it's more that they're afraid that they won't come out and vote, and that it's the one thing that will bring them out to vote in big numbers. You know, they'll be angry and they'll come out and vote. Say Republicans are the tough ones. Vote for them. So a lot of Republican candidates are just not wanting to budge on this because they think that tail that's wagging the dog, they might get a little edge from them. So, you know, half the Republican Party is ready to do the right thing. The president's ready to do the right thing.
The administration's ready to go, isn't it?
The administration wants this more than anybody in the country. They are so ready to go, it's not funny. And, you know, that too, it's giving, unfortunately, that's giving some Republicans who want to kind of stick their finger in the administration's eye, you know, a little, it almost becomes an incentive not to do it for some Republicans.
Tomorrow, I got 30 seconds. What can we do?
We keep talking about it the way you're talking about it. Call your congressman. Say you want him to solve it. Say, are you a do-nothing congressman, or are you a congressman who solves things? That's what they need to hear. That's the one thing that could get them to do it in the next little while. Can Congress tie its shoes? Can it act? Can it solve some of the nation's problems? Or would it rather get stuck in a polarized battle that doesn't do any good for anyone?
Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. She's the editor of Reinventing the Melting Pot, and her book is Someone Else's House. Tamar, thank you for the great report. You always do a great job. Thank you for that.
Thanks for having me on.
See you next time. Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you love her name? 29 After. I'll be right back with Gwendolyn Galsworth. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.